referring to the book of Mark. We're in chapter 6, beginning at verse number 33 this afternoon. Mark 6, 33. Before we begin, those that are listening to us, Father Meenish, give us a call at 856-261-9018 or email questions@bfdbc.org. All right, Mark chapter 6, beginning verse 32. Let's start with 32. We started with 33. We'll start with 32, 33, and 34. And they departed unto a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came in together unto him. When Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. All right, verse number 2. They departed. Where did they go?
To a desert.
Went to a desert place. And how did they get there?
By ship.
And did a lot of people know about it?
Yeah.
What's it mean, privately?
It was like kept a secret.
Kept a secret. They didn't tell the whole world about it. They went privately. And now notice, it's talking about the apostles in verses 30 and 31. So the they would be the apostles. Then in verse number 33, what did the people do when they saw them leave? Mark 6:33. What did the people do when they saw them leave?
They followed them.
They certainly did. And many knew him. And how did they get to where they're going?
They ran.
They ran. Ran afoot. And came out of all the cities. There were a lot of people. What does it mean? They outwent them. What's that mean?
Got ahead of them.
Went ahead of them. I think they went ahead of them faster than they did at the ship, and came together unto him. And then in verse 34, what did Jesus understand? What were his feelings when he came out of that ship, that boat?
He had compassion.
What does it mean to have compassion?
He loved them.
What is it?
We would care and love.
They have care and love. They had certainly care, concern for them. The people. Were there just a few out there?
No, much.
Much people. Moved with compassion toward them. Why was the, what's the cause given here why they were moved with compassion?
Because they didn't have a shepherd.
What is it?
They were sheep without a shepherd.
They were sheep without a shepherd. As sheep. Why is it the as mean? Tammy?
They
were like, they were similar to sheep, as sheep, having no shepherd. What kind of a sheep would that be with no shepherd? What kind of situation would that be?
Lost sheep.
They wouldn't have any shepherd. They'd go away to follow. They just meander. Yes, Lynn?
Sheep are naturally dumb animals, too.
Yes.
They will follow whoever they follow. Whoever they're following jumps over a cliff, they'll just keep jumping over and following.
Yes, they just follow.
So you have to have a shepherd like Jesus Christ,
yes,
right?
A shepherd like Jesus Christ. So, yes, Anna.
I heard an interesting statement at some point, and I forget who said it, but it had to do with the idea of, it was sort of against the purpose-driven movement.
Mm-hmm.
It was saying that. Sheep are led and goats are driven.
That's good. Sheep are led and goats are driven. That's true. I'm not a shepherd, but I understand that's the situation. Appreciate that. So, what does this imply about the care the Lord Jesus had for people that are lost, like sheep without a shepherd?
That he's always going to receive anybody that calls upon him, because let us come to him with open arms,
mm-hmm.
Because he's that loving, he can send his son.
Should those who are genuine Christians also be concerned with lost people like
Jesus?
Absolutely. Yes, we should, just like the Lord Jesus. Have compassion upon them, try to win them to the Lord. Is everyone that's lost and without Christ going to be won to the Lord?
No.
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 Why are they not won to the Lord?
Pride.
Pride is one thing, that's right.
They believe in him.
They don't believe it. They don't think they need a shepherd. They don't believe they're lost. What are the three requirements for a person to be a genuine Christian? What's one?
Belief.
Well, that's third one, they must, but before that.
Admit they're a sinner.
Admit that they're sinners. If they don't believe they're sinners, they're not going to need a Savior, are they?
No.
Yeah. So they have to realize they're sinners and lost and bound for a sinner's hell like the devil and his angels. What's the second thing they've got to understand if it's a good gospel message?
Repentance.
No, not repentance.
Receive.
Just that, Tammy.
They need to know that Lord Jesus Christ has sent to save them from their sins.
How did he save them?
Dying on the cross.
Alright, have to realize he came to seek and to save the lost and to die on the cross for their sins. He bore the sins in his own body. If they don't understand the Lord Jesus took their sins at the cross, they can't be saved. That's part of the thing. They're sinners, but the Lord Jesus paid for those sins on Calvary. And then the third thing was mentioned early. Repeated, what's that third thing they've got to do if they're going to be genuine Christians?
Born again?
Not repent. Well, see, repentance is changing your mind regarding your sin. Changing your mind regarding the Savior, that He died for your sin. That's repentance, changing your mind. But what's the third thing?
Born again.
Well, but what's the third thing? Tammy?
They have to allow the Lord Jesus Christ. They have to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to take their sins.
All right, they have to trust or believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have to have faith in the Lord Jesus and Him alone. Not their works, but by their faith in Him for them to be saved. Otherwise, they're like sheep going astray. And the gospel message is not always clear. A lot of people, a lot of these Baptists and others, put repentance in here almost like a work in order to be saved. Repentance. Well, repentance, if you define it, means a change of mind. But they think repentance means a change of life. You got to straighten yourself out before you can be saved. You got to do good works, otherwise you can't. That's a lie. But a lot of evangelists are not making that clear these days. It's a terrible heresy, really. God damn it.
Thessalonians, that they turned to God from idols.
Mm-hmm.
The direction first was to God.
Turn to God from
and
idols.
Then God changed their mind.
That's right. See, so they repent. See, now Dr. Schaefer is very clear on this. Dr. Schaefer of the Dallas Seminary, he founded that years ago. He's very clear that repentance or changing your mind is bound up with the faith. It's all part of the gospel. You have to change your mind regarding your sin, first of all. That's repentance. I'm a sinner. And change your mind regarding the Savior. He died for my sins on the cross. And then, trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's all together. You've got to change your mind on a few things, so that's what repentance is. But not repentance as a work. See, that's what a lot of people call repentance. Yes,
so repentance comes after salvation, right? Or is it?
Well,
it's not alone. It's not required for salvation.
Well, repentance should come before salvation. In other words, first of all, I've got to define repentance right. So, that's right. See, re is again in Latin. Pen is from penis, but to think again, have a different change of mind. And in the Greek, it's meta, nous, metanoia, which is change, then nous is mind, change of mind. So you got to change your mind concerning your sin, if you're a sinner, and Christ died for your sin. That's the change of mind if you define it that way. But if you try to define repentance in the wrong way, you've got to change your life and do good works. That comes after, not before. That comes after salvation. You can't do good works until after you're finished. What is Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10? Let's say it together.
For by
grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So works follow salvation by grace through faith. And then Anna.
I think I understand what you mean is to repent in the sense of salvation is what you said. It's the process of agreeing that you are a sinner, changing your mind about that you are a sinner and that you do need a Savior.
Yes.
And that the Lord did die on the cross for you.
Yes.
That is your change. You're changing your mind. You're repenting. You're changing your mind. You're turning your mind.
Yes.
That's repent. And then once you you go through the whole process and you trust in Jesus and you become saved, that's what she was trying to say, born again. You're born again after you become saved. Well, after you go through the whole process, you're considered born again. Yeah. When you become saved, that's what she was saying.
Well, that's the proper understanding and definition of repentance.
Right.
Not the false one that
right,
these evangelists
about the works.
Are teaching. The evangelists are all wet on that.
Right.
I mean,
they believe
the Lord and John R. Rice, the whole gang is wrong on that. Repent, repent. That's Pastor Dan.
Yeah, I know.
I understand, which U.S. Muslims will understand born again, but born again is not based upon baptism or any type of work.
Right, right.
It's not based upon any type of work.
Right, it's, mm-hmm. that's right.
The mm-hmm. question was asked, you know, how can Nicodemus asked the Lord Jesus Christ the question, how can a man be born when he's old?
Yeah.
And he entered a second time in his mother's womb, maybe born. Mm-hmm. born. But the Lord Jesus Christ clarified what it meant to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in John 3:16, later on in the chapter, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him, not in anything that you've done.
Right.
Right.
He should not perish but have everlasting life.
Right.
And in Acts 16, when the Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, he said, he asked him the question, sirs, what must I do to be saved?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't list a whole bunch of works.
Right.
He said, you know, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house.
That's right. If the house believes and the house did believe, and they were saved. That's right. Yes.
So you're saying repentance has to be required before salvation?
Well, if it's me, if you define it right.
Because admitting you're a sinner, that's repentance.
Yeah, if you define it right, see, metanoia. Meta is a change. Metanoia, change the Greek word, change of mind. If that's how you define it, so you must change your mind regarding your sin and regarding your Savior before you trust the Savior as your own. But if you define it wrong, if you say repentance is do good works, change your life, that's not required before salvation. That type of repentance that all these evangelists are defining it as. Pastor Dan.
Amen.
Oh, excuse me, Hannah, I'm sorry. Hannah.
Amen.
Well, Tammy, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say what you said.
And then Jill had a hand up, didn't she? Yeah, okay.
I was just going to say what you were saying. And so then I put my hand down because you started saying about changing your mind,
yeah.
About your own sin, or about your sinfulness, about the fact that you are a sinner, mm-hmm. and changing your mind about the Savior.
Right, right.
So you already said it.
Well, that's good. I'm glad you were saying repetition is the mother of learning. What's the Latin for that?
Estudio.
Repetitio. Mater. Estudiorum. Repetitio. Mater. Estudiorum. Est. Repetition is the mother of learning. Okay, who stole that from me?
Your mother.
My mother, okay. Go ahead, Jill.
Yeah, and, people's households do become saved, but it's up to people, individual households within those households saved,
yes.
were taught in the wrong way,
uh-huh.
where they think, I can't remember, it's the Lordship of Salvation.
Oh, that's a good idea. We're going to get into Lordship of Salvation.
They
brought
coattails of their family members.
Yes.
Well, I'm saved to my... household saved, or I am a household of saved because my mother saved or my father saved. No, it's individual.
That's good.
Change your heart.
We'll get in Lordship Salvation, household salvation. Pastor Dan and Anna.
Tying in the Lordship Salvation with the concept of repentance, that's why it has to define properly. Because sometimes the Lordship group says you have to.
Like John MacArthur, he's a Lordship Salvation guy.
Right.
Heresy on that particular issue.
You're saying that you have to clean your life up first.
Right.
Do all these things first, and then and only then you can turn to Christ.
Can a sinner clean up his life?
No.
Got to be saved first. What's the order of the Bible as far as lordship, salvation?
Salvation.
Salvation, then lordship. You
right.
save first, then you make Jesus your Lord. You can't make him your Lord and do all these good works
right.
until you're saved.
Right. You can't minister
Anna.
Until you're saved.
That's right.
Right.
Go ahead, Anna.
There was a halfway covenant.
Okay, tell us about the halfway covenant.
I forget what year it was, I forget most of the details, except that it was something to do with that if your parents were members of the church, you could become a member of the church too.
Okay. So,
you didn't have to make a profession.
We're getting into that subject. Household salvation. Pastor Dan.
I think the way we end is talking, just going back in the 1600s, I think, maybe 1700s.
Mm-hmm.
Congregationalists and a certain breed of Presbyterians merged together.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to agree that the meaning of the minds was if your children could be members as long as your parents are members of the
mm-hmm.
of the church. So consequently, in a generation, the church was filled with lost people.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jonathan Edwards enters the scene. When he's got a church full of members
mm-hmm.
who are not regenerated.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one thing to have people attend the church
right.
who aren't regenerated. But to be members of the church, and so Anna made reference to the halfway covenant,
mm-hmm.
kind of household salvation.
All right, let's define household. Yeah, cast.
I just
want to
say, when I got saved, so,
mm-hmm.
I didn't know all these verses. But I think the Holy Spirit knows a lot of good, because I knew that I was saved. But I knew that my whole family were not saved.
Mm-hmm.
No one was saved in the family.
Uh-huh.
So it must come from the Holy Spirit telling you that, you know, pray for your children and husband. Mm-hmm. You know,
how,
I think common sense would tell you that.
How,
I don't know common sense or what, but the Lord, somebody tells you that you have to be saved individually.
Well, as a Roman Catholic, how were you saved, Kat?
I was saved through the Bible.
How?
It was. What do you mean how?
Well, tell me how you were saved.
Well, I read the Bible and went to Bible study and, you know, did that from.
But that's all you did?
Oh, no, that was like the beginning, was opening my eyes. And then the verse that we just said came on. About how must I be born again, that
uh-huh.
verse. And then I started thinking about that. And then I prayed because I didn't think that I would ever have that.
Uh-huh.
But then one night I asked the Lord to be my Savior. And I knew,
so you trust the Lord by faith.
I trusted Him by faith.
That's what saved you, wasn't it?
And that was how.
Okay, now Jacob from Texas, right, Jacob?
Yes, sir. I have a question for Pastor Dan.
Yes.
History of fundamentalism class that we did 2 summers ago. I wanted to ask again about, I think I do remember this line, about the New England theology and Jonathan Edwards, but that, you know, that we are sinners because we sin, not we sin because we're sinners. But I just wanted to ask you, but if I'm right on this, that wasn't the first Jonathan Edwards, but that was the second. I think I didn't remember that right, but I just wanted to clarify that.
Do you understand what he said?
Is that some New England theology?
New England theology?
So Jonathan Edwards.
Yes, sir.
The second Jonathan Edwards.
Okay, here, try to answer. Let's wave to Jacob in Texas. All right, Jacob. Quick question.
The second Jonathan Edwards, we'll talk about that later. That's kind of confusing right now.
All right.
But as far as the statement about, do we sin because we're sinners? Are we sinners because we sin?
Mm-hmm.
See, society as a whole says people, mankind, are sinners because they sin and do all this wrong stuff, which implies that this is the false theology. Which implies that there are some people that think they can perfect themselves,
mm-hmm.
in the sense of being, by all their nice, good works, they don't need salvation.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about them. It's all about what they do.
So what is the biblical answer to that, sin versus sinners?
The biblical answer is,
we sin because we're sinners.
Because we're sinners.
Right. Okay. Now, Phil brought up the idea.
We were born that way.
Born in sin. In sin, my mother conceived me. Does that mean conception is sin?
No.
No, what does it mean? In sin, that David said in Psalm.
It starts at conception.
Sin starts, the sin nature starts at conception. That's right. Yes, sir.
But Linda. Was it Adam and Eve was the first sinners?
Yes.
Right?
That's right. They were the first parents and the first sinners. That's right.
And then we carried through Adam and Eve till today.
That's right, because of inheritance. But in Adam, all die. We just, from Adam, all sin. Was the Lord Jesus connected to Adam in that sin relationship?
No.
What made him different? What?
His choice to disobey.
Well, what made the Lord Jesus different than this Adamic line? Rick?
His miraculous, if you would, conception.
His miraculous conception. The virgin birth of Christ, that's right. Jill brought up the subject of household salvation. How would you define household salvation, Tammy?
Before I
answer
and respond to that question, yeah. It just brings to mind Romans 5:12, mm-hmm. wherefore is by one man sin mm-hmm. entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all
have sinned. That's good, Romans 5:12. Yeah. So what is house, Pastor Dan?
I mean, so getting back to what Linda was saying, you have two, the seminal headship is the, perhaps the best view of looking as far as how sin was passed upon humanity.
Seminal headship. Alright.
You know, as opposed to with other views, but seminal right. headship is probably the best way of looking at it. And consequently, Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, was exempt from mm-hmm. that, because he was outside the line of Joseph.
Right. Mm-hmm. Outside
Joseph was not his human father.
All right.
Mary was his human mother, but Joseph was not. He had no human father.
He had no human father. God the Father was the Father of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, but Joseph was just a stand-in father.
Right. All right.
And so we have to be sure, certain that we cannot keep the keeping so the so-called sacraments, as the institution of Rome calls them, you cannot keep the sacraments and obtain salvation.
Right. They falsely teach that, don't they?
Falsely teach that, yes.
That's right.
Keeping the sacraments does not say, and if the belief of the purgatory is another false doctrine of the institution of Rome.
Mm-hmm.
It's either when someone dies, either spend it's either two places, heaven or hell. Those are the two places.
Mm-hmm. All right, Vaughn?
Is it time to talk about household salvation?
Yes, you're ready. Back to that?
It's, as far as I was going to say, as far as that's concerned,
yeah.
You know, people believe that if the parent is a believer, then consequently their children are believers.
Like
by osmosis, or sort of.
That's what household salvation. All right, Anna, and then Vaughn.
Oh, going back to the headship.
Headship, go ahead.
I wonder if someone can give a brief explanation of the different kinds and why seminal headship is best.
Your dad talked about seminal headship and the other one, but didn't name the other one.
Other one is federal headship.
Federal headship. What's the difference?
Federal headship is there's elements of, I think there's perhaps elements of both of them that perhaps can be supported, but as far as you had to pick between the one and the other, I would go with seminal. Federal headship is Adam acted as a legal representative.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and then this gets this does tie in with the household salvation, kind of, because mm-hmm. it's the division between two different sectors of theology. Seminal headship is we were actually in Adam.
As to the seed. Seminal meaning seed, yes.
When he was there. So we were making the decision with him,
yes.
When he chose to sin against God.
Mm-hmm.
We were
seminal headship.
I mean, if you want to think genetically, yes, we were, but we were there.
Right. Genetically
speaking, in other sense, we were there with him.
I have a question to ask.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, then how did the flood? Well, the flood didn't wipe out everybody, obviously, because Noah and his family survived. So did that still get passed on because Noah and them survived?
And Noah.
Yeah.
No, he was the son of Adam.
So even that's though right. All those other people died, even though he was righteous in the eyes of God, and God let him survive, he was still a sinner because only Jesus Christ was
that, that's right. Had right. Adam's sin.
Right.
What about Adam's blood versus the Lord Jesus' blood? If sin is passed through the bloodline, what about the Lord Jesus' blood?
It's
pure. Why was it pure?
Virgin birth?
What's true at birth, according to doctors? What's the blood source in birth?
Father.
To the Father. Did the Lord Jesus have a human father?
No.
Oh, so the bloodline of Adam was not part of the Lord Jesus' birth. Virgin birth. Yes, Linda, you had something.
Yeah, but Joseph was his father. Yeah.
Stepfather. Yeah. Stepfather. Yeah.
Yeah, and didn't, we're talking about Noah, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, wasn't
Joseph is not his real father, he's just
helped. I know, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Wasn't when Noah built the ark and it mm-hmm. flooded the world,
yeah.
Wasn't that supposed to be baptized and make Lost's sins away?
Well,
with the Noah flood?
Well, that's what some people teach, the baptism of regeneration. Is that true or false? Pastor Dan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The water, they were inside the ark, and the ark was inside the water. It's the ark was the instrument that delivered them from that water.
Right. It kept them alive.
Yeah.
And so the only way someone can be saved is by the blood of Jesus Christ. I mean, there's parallels with the ark, the deliverance of the ark, and the deliverance of Christ.
Yes. But baptism of regeneration is not biblical. Many people teach that.
Baptism does not save.
Right. Yes, Lynn.
How did they atone for their sins while they were in the ark?
How did they atone for their sins in the ark?
That's right.
That's a good
well, apparently they didn't have any sacrifices because they didn't have all the instruments,
so they waited
for an hour, a year. Anna and then Pastor Dan.
But as soon as they disembarked,
yes.
Shortly after they disembarked the ark, they had no
sacrifice.
Okay.
What provision did Noah make for sacrifice?
God told him to take
seven pairs of clean animals,
as opposed to just two.
Just two of the unclean animals.
Okay.
That's right. Anna? Okay. Fine. Anybody? Yes, fine.
Are we ready for household salvation?
Yes, go ahead. Luke. What is it? Define it. And it says a scriptural or not scriptural.
Well, I want to talk about Annie Crosby.
All right, go ahead. Blind Fanny Crosby.
Fanny Crosby was not saved, born again, until she was an adult woman in her 30s.
That's right.
She went to church all the time. She memorized scripture. She was blind, did I mention that?
No, she was blind.
And she knew the Bible backwards and forwards. She was taught by her grandma. But she thought she was saved. I don't know if she used that word. She thought she was a Christian, mm-hmm. and she'd go to heaven. Because her mother was a good Christian, and her father, her grandfather, all those people, mm-hmm. she was a strong, sometimes, I had it before, sometimes Presbyterian, I had it when I went the first time, it was like mm-hmm. strong Presbyterian, Calvinistic Presbyterian, mm-hmm. and she did not know she was lost because she thought she was going to heaven because her mother was a good Christian. And it wasn't until she received Jesus Christ as to save her soul as a sinner that she was saved, which I think is true of many, many people.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what verse of scripture do they take? Oh, excuse me, Anna, go ahead.
Is it a particularly Calvinistic teaching sometimes with the extreme Calvinist view?
Some even say
you cannot know if you're saved.
Right.
One of the elect.
That's right.
Which is,
all right.
So,
what verse of scripture?
Go ahead,
Tammy.
Well, I'm not sure if this is the exact verse, but this would be one that they could use in Acts 16:30-31, and they brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house."
That's
and
exactly.
They take that as a promise from the Lord that their whole house would be saved.
That's right. Now, if they read the context, "and thy house," it says in verse 32, "and they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house." And verse 33, "and he took them in the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his house straightway. And when they had brought them out into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." All his house believed. That's what made them saved. Not because the parents were saved. So that's a false use of the word without taking the context. Anna?
I've seen 1 Corinthians 6, 7, and 8, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy."
All right. I think what that means, to be set apart, it's possible they could be saved if they believe the Lord, the gospel, and the wife or husband tells them about the Lord. So stay with them, even if one's saved, the other's lost. Yes?
I have a few verses to share. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death."
Yeah.
A lot of times what we think is right, no matter how good we are, no matter how nice of a person we are, no matter how much we do or sacrifice or give to people, we can't do it in our own power. Nothing that we do. We're just unfilthy rags, like it says in Isaiah 64:6.
Yes.
Everything we do, all of our works are unfilthy rags.
Right.
And it's only by faith and trust in Christ, because it says without faith it's impossible to please him.
Right.
And in Hebrews 11:6.
Right.
And then our works are what follows our faith. It's only possible to do right, to be the right person, to do the right righteousness with the right intention, the right heart, and the right motives by faith and trust in Christ. Because the Holy Spirit will change us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature.
Right.
Therefore, if any, you know what I mean? Like,
faith must precede good
work. And then it talks about in, like we said earlier, Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship created unto
good works.
Unto good works. It's not by works.
No.
We're only able to do right with the right motives, the right intentions, the right heart with Jesus Christ by our side, because the Holy Spirit will be doing the working, taking it off of us. And we won't be doing it. And and it says in Philippians 2:13.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Philippians 2:13.
Is it 4:13?
No.
I get all things through Christ that strengthens me. 4:13.
No, Philippians 2:13.
Okay.
It says, sorry, I'm not there. I'll get there real quick.
Sorry.
for it is God, where, we'll get back there.
Worketh in us?
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Yes. Only to please him, only by his power and strength, and without faith it's impossible to please him. So only by faith. Everything must revolve around faith and trust in Christ.
Right. So we've covered Lordship salvation, I believe. We've covered also household salvation. Those are both unscriptural terms. As I said before, John MacArthur is one of the pioneers in leading people astray on Lordship salvation. He's written a whole book on it. He's got a whole commentary on the whole Bible on it. He's got a seminary in California on it. And he says you have to make Jesus Lord of your life before you can be saved. Salvation by works. That's the salvation by works. It's a terrible thing. All right, any other questions or comments on that particular subject? All right, so he had compassion on them, sheep having without a shepherd, as sheep without a shepherd. And so the Lord was concerned about them. And what did he begin to do in verse 34?
He started to teach.
Started to teach them. Began to teach them many things. See, now, are all people teachable?
No.
What does that mean? Teachable. What does it mean to be teachable?
Like they want to learn. They're receptive to learn.
Receptive. Why are some people so hard-headed?
Pride.
They won't receive things.
Pride.
Why? Pride is one reason, that's right. Know it all. They know it all. Nobody tell me anything. I know everything.
That's right.
See? But this is a very important thing. Teachability. We had to teach them. Not that all people received this teaching. When he was on earth, he taught a lot of things. For instance, in John 14:6, let's say that. Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what he taught them. Did they all agree with that? No, a lot of people, as Jews, they just rejected him. They didn't believe that. But, and a lot of people today, they're unteachable. They don't want to hear it. They don't believe it. Only by Christ I could go to heaven. Oh, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Tammy.
Proverbs 12:1. Whoso loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. But he that hateth reproof is
brutish. He hateth reproof is brutish. That's good. So he taught them, and the Lord Jesus was a teacher, and it was very good to teach, even though they don't receive it. He had to teach them anyhow, even if they didn't receive. Let's read 35, 36, and 37 together. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is the desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and unto the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, Give me them to eat. And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? See, what are we for 35, 6, and 7? Those are the three verses? Yeah, okay. What does it mean the day was far spent? What's that mean?
It's getting late.
Getting late. And what do the disciples suggest?
They go to the village and get something to eat.
Okay, this is a desert place, no place to go to the village. How much did they have to spend in verse 36? How much do they suggest?
200 pennies.
So, I don't know in details, dollars and cents.
36.
That's 36, yes. No, round about the villages.
37
is a penny worth. Okay, 37. And they thought they should, he meant. What did the Lord suggest to these hungry people in verse 37? What did he suggest to them?
Have them sit in groups.
Well, before that, on verse 37, what did he suggest in verse 37?
Give ye them to eat.
Give ye them to eat. Did they have enough food to take care of all these people?
No.
How many were there, we'll see later on? How many? Pastor Dan?
5,000.
5,000 men, plus women and children. Pastor Dan?
Penny worth would be close to a day's wages.
Close to a day's wages. And so,
tell us how much.
So if it's 200 penny worth.
Well, 200 days wages, yeah.
Oh, 200 days
worth. Yes. One penny worth is a day's wages.
200 days wages.
No, and I think Brian's not clear what a day's wages would be.
Right.
In our terminology, we can think of how much we would make in a day. I mean, perhaps we all make different amounts of money in a day, but people make different amounts. But still, even at the low end, you know, it's a lot of money.
Well, just to get an illustration, what are the communists going to pay those rioters on next Monday at the Republican convention, what they're going to give them per day? What's their wage?
$80
a day. Now, that's the wages they're going to pay, which is pretty good wages, I'm sure. They were glad to get it, so they can riot and throw up everything. So this is what, so they said, give them to eat, and that was their suggestion, go and get penny worth to eat. And then in verse 30, excuse me, fine.
I have a question, 36. Who's
Somebody said seven way, but then you're going to the temple down by the villages. Somebody said seven way and they could eat in the village, I guess.
Well, the verse 35, it says, the disciples came unto him and told him to send them away. Probably the disciples, huh?
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
The disciples said, send them away, go buy their own bread. See, they're hungry. Mm-hmm. That's fine. And but
yes,
it is interesting. Tammy?
So it would take someone over half a year to work for all the money that they would need to even buy the bread, which if it was available, which doesn't seem like it would have been available,
right,
if they had spread out and gone to these different villages.
Right. Did the disciples have the compassion the Lord Jesus had?
No.
Right?
No.
What is he going to do?
Wait. They wanted 200 penny worth.
All right.
He asked, shall we spend 200 penny worth?
All right.
In
so,
a ransom.
So, who did the disciples want to take care of their food?
Jesus.
Who did the disciples want?
The people.
You get your own food. You're hungry? Go buy your own bread.
Yeah.
What did the Lord Jesus have to do? What is his, what was his solution? What was the Lord Jesus' solution?
Do a miracle. The apostles would do it.
The apostles would do it, but how was he going to do it? How did he do it?
Miraculously.
We jumped ahead.
He took a head. He took a hold of it. So, I realize, but I'm just simply saying, give ye them to eat.
Okay.
Yes.
Then he told them to sit in groups of 20.
Oh, yeah, they laid over, see that in groups. That's right. He said a little bit here. So, 200. So they said, let's read 38, 39, and 40 together. And he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. All right, verse 38. What did the Lord Jesus tell them to do when he said, give ye them to eat? What else did he say in verse 38? What question did he ask them?
How many loaves of bread do we have?
Now, did they know immediately?
No.
What did they have to do?
Go and see.
Yes, and when they knew, they said, five what?
Loaves of bread.
5 loaves and how many fish?
Two fishes.
So then what did he tell them to do in verse 39?
He told them to sit down.
All right, just anyway?
No, one of
in companies.
In companies upon the green grass. And they sat down, what does it mean, in ranks? Oh, excuse me, Lynn.
I just wanted to mention, I think it's in Matthew, it does mention that this food that he miraculously changes or miraculously enlarges, the original food that they got came from a little boy's lunch.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, that's right. The other gospels make that clear.
Yeah.
So sit down in ranks. What does that mean?
Hundreds and
like a certain amount, like forget. Like
okay, hundreds and fifty. In other words, had to be organized.
Yeah. Like
organized. Feed
like
organized.
The military.
Like a military. Organization.
Have to wait.
Yes.
Ranks and referrals into order of importance.
Well, could be. Right. Could be order of importance. What does RIP mean? RHIP. What does that mean? RHIP.
Rank has its privilege.
Rank has its privilege. Of course, that's what they say in the military all the time. What does that mean in the military?
You better know your insignias.
You got the higher rank, you got more privileges than the lower rank.
Right.
But, so it could be ranks as a military term. That's correct. That's, yes, Kat.
Well, we went overseas. The officers got the best places, and others were over.
Yes.
We got below.
That's
so the rank has the privilege.
But now, speaking of the Navy, let's go for the Navy. The Navy chapter 5 years after. Speaking of the Navy, Anthony's doing the Navy. All right, now, when the vessel is ready to sail, who is the last one to get on board?
Is it the captain?
The captain.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So rank has his privilege.
What does he do when he gets on board? First thing.
He salutes. That's right. He salutes the man. That's right. Absolutely. And he's the captain, so he shouldn't be saluted, but Alex should salute him anyway. But in other words,
salutes the ship.
Salutes the ship.
Yeah.
And there's a quartermaster there too. So let's read verse 41, 42, and 43. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the two fishes divided thee among them all. And they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. By the way, getting back to the captain again, I believe when the people left, he's supposed to stay on the ship until all the rest depart. See, that's the opposite, see?
Right.
And so he's the last one to leave, first one to get on. So that's interesting. So the men are first, and if it's a storm, whatever it is, let them off first. It's interesting. Yeah,
one of those ships that sunk, the passenger ship, the captain got off before.
Yeah, that was very serious error.
He said something about he fell off the boat.
Very serious error, very serious.
It was a passenger ship, and he was an Italian captain.
Yes. All right. So, nothing against Italians, but that's a fact. All right, now. All right, so verse 41. When he had taken the five loaves, what did he do with the five loaves and two fishes?
He made a mirror.
He looked up to heaven.
First he looked up to heaven. Then what did he do?
He
blessed, and then what did he do? Break the loaves. Now, can sinful people bless really anything? Who's the only one that can bless him?
Jesus.
God himself, Lord Jesus, God the Son, God. So you see, he blessed them. See, that's what I have against a lot of people before they eat, let's say, the blessing. I don't go along with it. We can thank the Lord for the food, but it's only God that can bless anything. He's the one that can bless. He's the source of blessing. You may differ with me. If you had different, that's fine. But I prefer to say thank you for the food and not to bless the food.
Amen.
Yes, Tammy.
I just wonder what the bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, blesses the Lord.
Yes.
Me and sin.
Well, the word of blessing in the sense of praise.
Yeah.
That's a synonym for praise the Lord. That's a praise. That in that
also
sense.
Then
praise.
What's the distinction?
Well, to, here, when he blessed the food, in other words, he sanctified it, he set apart. Anna?
When people pray, don't they say, bless us this food? So they're saying, bless. So it's addressed to, it's in the second person, bless, it's the request.
Yes.
Bless us to us.
Well, that's good. Yeah, you're right. You're intent. All right,
that particular Psalm 103, it goes, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And then forget not his benefits, who forgiveth my iniquities, who healeth my diseases. I believe he wrote that, or I believe he was the psalmist that wrote that, and he was actually speaking to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, bless the Lord, oh my soul. So he was like talking to himself. I mean, that's what I believe. I you can straighten me out on that.
Well, yeah.
And also about the healing, is where he was like professing that, and like, you know.
Yes. So Tammy, then Cass.
I just have a question.
All right, Tammy, then Cass.
So when it says in this verse 41, blessed, does that mean he's thanking the Lord for the bread, or is he blessing the Lord? As far as
his
praising,
him,
I was just trying to understand.
He's probably.
It says,
"I'm
blessed."
He's probably putting his blessing upon the food, and he can do it because he's God.
Yes.
Let's say you could differ with me. You don't have to agree on that. That's just my personal opinion on blessing. The cash and the bond.
I just want to repeat that because I didn't hear about your personal.
Well, my personal thought is, I prefer to thank the Lord for the food before we eat. Thankfulness. I don't prefer to people say the blessing, as if we can bless anything. See, the Lord's the only one that can bless you. So that's my own person. You do what you want. You continue to say the blessing all you want. I'd rather not. Thank the Lord for the food. It's Fred Lynn and then Anna.
Well, I think some people believe when they say that exactly what you think, but some people don't mean that when they say, let's say the blessing. Some people mean,
yes.
I'm asking God to bless the food, which is different, right?
Yes. Now, I think when the Roman Catholic priest bless the wafer, the bread and the wine, they're the host, they're making that change the body. So they've got different ways of using that term. So
right,
be very careful.
Obviously.
Yes, go ahead.
And a lot of times, like to go along with what Lynn said, like a lot of times people will say, let's bless this into our body. I hear a lot of people say, let's bless this food into our bodies.
Yeah. So that's fine. But the Lord Jesus blessed
put on my...
And break. To break the loaves. He's divided them up. Yes, go ahead. Cast and divide.
Well, in the RC church, I was told the blessing
was... What's RC? I know,
bless
just wanted to clarify.
Bless us,
O
Lord, for these thy gifts, so they're not actually saying, bless us. They're saying, bless us, O Lord, for these thy gifts.
Yeah.
So it's not like, I don't know, it doesn't seem to be, it's a nice prayer, I think, because you're not asking to be blessed, you're asking to bless. Well, just because you receive the gifts, which are best. To Christ our Lord, amen.
But it seems to me, when I've seen the masses of the Roman Catholic priests, it seems to me that what they say converts the bread to the body, converts the wine to the blood. See, it's what they say. Something they say. I don't remember the detail. I'm not a Roman Catholic. That Tammy and Anna, Yvonne.
This is what I was talking about. The prayer that they say at the house. My parents say that.
Uh-huh.
And it's before they eat. That's for food.
They say what?
But they pray. What Mrs. Weber said before they eat at home.
Yes.
And a lot of times, and when I was growing up, I never understood what was being said because it was said so quickly. It was like I was thinking, what is that? Because it was by rote.
I see. Okay, who's that? Vaughn, go ahead.
And he, Jesus, looked up to heaven and blessed and break the rules. At that time, I guess when he was doing that, they were multiplying. The loaves were multiplying. I don't know if they multiplied as he broke it or as they passed it out, it multiplies. So that blessed is a very special kind of blessing, I think.
Yes. Yes, Jill.
In the Roman Catholic Church,
Anna, I'm sorry.
Was saying by like rote and all that stuff, like just, you know, saying it where it's meaningless words.
Right.
I mean, when I used to be a Roman Catholic, you'd say, oh, she's in there, and I just, so this is like, I'm not learning anything. As dead as a doornail is this entire church, and I'm just repeating things just for the sake of repeating, like bringing my heart on, even like, you know, receiving anything. I'm just repeating what I'm told, like,
yeah.
You know, who's the obsessed?
Yes. All right, Anna.
I was thinking about blessing more generally. I was thinking about how, Isaac, he was blessed Esau, and then he ended up blessing Jacob, and then he blessed Esau and blessed him in a certain way as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jacob blessed Ephraim and Manasseh, and then his 12 sons. So what was that about?
Yes. Well, that's the Old Testament, but in the Gospels, in Matthew, for instance, Matthew 5, blessed are the poor, for you shall inherit the earth. That word blessed is makarios, which means happy, rejoicing, blessed in that sense, or happy condition. So it has a different meaning in different situations. So anyhow, yes.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, I think I agree with you as far as dividing, you know, like giving more. That's what I feel like the blessing is. Like multiplying, you know, just the way, that's what like a lot of times a blessing is, because you know how God is great, he blesses, he blesses abundantly, and when he gives something, it's always, and that's what I feel like it is, like a miracle, giving, like giving a lot.
So he did bless, then he break. What's the third thing he did in verse 41? He set before them, the disciples, he gave the disciples, rather, and then set before them, and what did he do with the two fish? Yes. Anthony?
Break the bread. He's going to perform a miracle. He's going to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes.
Yes, 5,000.
Get to that.
5,000 men plus women and children. Plus women and children.
So that's 5,000.
5,000 men.
Besides.
Plus, besides. Yeah. So later on we'll see. In the other gospel.
We said 5,944.
Yes, we haven't got to 44 yet, but plus the women and children, see, so there must have been 10 or 15,000 people, see, this is just the males, the only ones that were counted, that's right.
Of course, look what follows the word blessed, and break the loaves, you know, like, so break the loaves, and that means he's going to live a lot more, by following blessed.
And what do you tell the disciples to do in verse 41? set before them.
Divide them up against them.
They were the ones.
5,000 people.
They're the ones that were to distribute these loaves and the two fishes.
Among them all.
He divided the two fishes also among them all. Now, what would have to happen to be able to divide the two fishes among them all? 15,000. What would have to happen?
You can't do it. Impossible.
What would have to happen?
A miracle.
It had to be multiplication. It had to be a miracle. Those had to be divided and passed out. And the two had to become 15,000. Whatever, however many there were. 5,000 men plus women and children. So the same with the loaves, or the five loaves. They had to multiply and so on. So they told them to distribute them among them all. And verse 42, Anna.
Verse in the
passage, Matthew 14, 21,
and they that had eaten were about
5,000
men, beside women and children.
Very good, it's right there.
14.
Very good. So then in verse
42,
how many of them ate?
All of them.
There wasn't a single person. What was the result of their eating?
They were full.
What does that mean? They were still.
They had plenty to eat.
Nobody,
like Thanksgiving dinner.
Nobody complained. There was a satisfactory meal.
And everything was full.
And they had leftovers. Had leftovers too. We'll see that later. And then verse, did we read 43 yet?
No.
Let's read 43, 44, and 45 together. And they took out 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they did the deed of the loaves for about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before the Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. All right, is that three? All right. So here he is in the Sea of Galilee. Let's see if I got my Sea of Galilee. Right here's the Sea of Galilee. Where they went over to Bethsaida, the other side. Here's the Bethsaida over here. Here's the Bethsaida. So probably on this side and over the other side. Here's the Bethsaida, right on that side of the east side of the Sea of Galilee. That's where they went. So 43 took up 12 baskets full of fragments. What was in the fragments?
Dragon's fish.
Well, you sure? What was in the fragments? What's the last part of verse 43 say? And of the fishes. So what was in the fragments?
Bread.
The bread, and then of the fishes, separate situation. And so then in verse 44, they ate of the loaves, about how many men?
5,000.
5,000. Now if they had women there and children, how many men do you think were married?
Maybe
5,000.
That's 10,000.
That'd be 10,000. And how many children might the average home have if they were there also?
Two.
At least two.
Probably more.
So two times that would be
15,000.
15,000 would be a conservative. Is the Lord able to provide that many mouths to feed?
Yes.
Oh, he can provide
as many as he wants.
He can provide salvation to those that trust him here in this earth, anywhere in the whole world. From the beginning of his sacrifice on Calvary, and he's able to fulfill even to the end of the earth. He's able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's a miracle working God, absolutely. And so then, verse 45, what does straightway mean again?
Immediately.
What does it mean he constrained his disciples? Constrained?
Stop.
Sometimes it means stopping. What does it mean? Something else. Sometimes it means stop. What else might it mean?
Compelled, forceful.
Compelled and encouraged.
Compelled.
So this would be compelled. Now, do sometimes people need to be compelled to do things?
Yes.
Are they always willing to do things?
No.
The disciples apparently didn't really want to do anything, but he encouraged them. Call it what you will. Concerned.
It says strongly encouraged at the bottom.
Strongly encouraged. That's what the Greek word I'm sure is. Strongly encouraged. What do you want them to do?
get into the ship.
Okay, so he wanted to get them into the ship. Now he came by ship, that cat?
No, I just was.
Oh, touch your hair. Okay, I just mistook that for my hand. All right. He got into the ship. Was it a big ship or a little ship?
Small ship.
Probably a small ship. Anna? What is it?
25,
okay.
45,
okay.
So the disciples got into the ship, right?
Yes.
And Christ remained, and he was sending away the people.
Okay.
Right?
That's good. We haven't got that part of that verse, but you're right. Got into the ship. And what did he want the people, these disciples, to do? In verse 45.
To go to the other side.
To the other side. What city?
The city.
The city. Is that east or west?
Well,
is that east or west of the Galilean shore? I already showed you. I just wanted you to know if you went, if you remember what I said.
Northeast.
Okay. Here's the Sea of Galilee.
Right.
Here's the Seda right up here. North and east. And the north and east side. The other side will be over there. All right. So Bethsaida is where they had the disciples to go. What did the Lord Jesus do while they were in the ship?
Sending the 5,000
people home. Send them away. Send away the people. Why do you suppose he sent them away?
He went up to the mountain.
Because they needed to go home.
They needed to go home. That's all, the whole show was over.
He wanted some peace. He
wanted some peace and some quiet. That's right. And did we read 46 yet?
Yeah.
No.
Well, let's read 46, 47, 48. And when they had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary with them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and were attacked by them. Is that three verses?
Yes.
So 47. What time of day was it?
46.
Oh, 46. I'm sorry, 46. All right. What did he do with the people?
Sent them away.
What did he do then?
Right.
Went to the mountains. So there was a mountain in Bethsaida, apparently. But at least where he was, whether it was Bethsaida or not. And he went to pray. And then in verse 47, what time of day was it here?
Evening.
What is the evening? Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry, Vaughn.
When we were in the Holy Land, I remember when we went up to the mountain, we said that there
was 5,000. Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. You know, and I remember the grass was so
green.
It's a big expanse there.
Yes, it did show us that, didn't it?
That?
I don't remember, but I think now it's a refreshing memory.
I remember it. I can see it in the night.
Yes, interesting. So, what time of day is even in the Jewish calendar? Pastor Dan?
We have four watches. First watch.
I'm talking 47 now, with the even. First. Before we get the, watches. What is the even, what is a Jewish day like?
6 to 6.
Before sundown.
It starts?
6 p.m.
Sundown the day before. What time of day?
6 p.m.
6 p.m. And ends what time?
6
a.m. 6 p.m. 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
The day starts at 6 p.m. In other words, at 6 p.m. tonight, it would be Monday in the Jewish calendar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So at even, it was even, and
so 6 to 6 in the morning, or 6 to 6?
No,
6,
no, 6 p.m. Starts at 6 p.m.
And it goes to 6 p.m. the next day?
That next day, that's right.
Oh, okay.
24 hours.
24 hours,
just
that's
like
right.
Our day.
That's right. Ours starts at midnight. Anna?
Because creation, it talks about the evening and the morning.
Yes.
So you have the evening, and then you have the morning.
Yes.
So you have darkest.
Even in the morning, the first day.
But us, we have a dark period, then a light period, then another dark period.
Right.
We're so gloomy.
Yes. So how many days of creation were there?
Seven.
Seven. Even in the morning, first day, second.
Still
not
six.
Seven.
6 days.
Six. Yeah. What happened to seven?
They rested.
They rested. Okay. So in verse number 47, I mean, even from. Where was the ship at this time? Right in the midst of that Sea of Galilee. See, right in the middle of the sea.
Wow.
Right there in the middle. Where was the Lord Jesus at this time?
Rowing on the land.
He was still on the land, still on the land. And in the midst of the sea, And where was the Lord Jesus again?
In the
land, verse 47. And then in verse 48, what did he observe about these disciples? What does it mean, toiling?
They were having a hard time rowing against the wind.
Right, difficult,
they
Anna?
They were fighting against the wind.
There was a storm coming.
What, Anna?
So whatever mountain he must have been standing on, he must have been seeing, able to see out a ways into this, the Sea of Galilee, and able to see them.
All right, and what else is true about the Lord Jesus' eyesight? So, did he even need to be anywhere before he could see him? His eye could see anywhere, no matter, just like God could see us, no matter where he is, millions and millions of miles away. Yvonne?
When we were there, I remember the guide said that the storm came suddenly on the Galilee.
Yes, because it's very, it's not too deep, it's very shallow, so real fast, it comes up real fast. So, he was on the land, he saw them toiling, or in rowing. What's the word for mean here in this verse 48?
Because
wind was contrary. What does that mean? They have a contrary wind. In other words, you're trying to go east. Wind is going west. It's just absolute bucking them.
The opposite.
Opposite.